Our learning tonight is sponsored by Arnold Rauchberger in memory of his brother Yitzhak Tuvia ben Naftali Hertz, Zichrono Levracha. Tonight we're going to begin Perek Dalet, the next Perek of the Mesilas Yesharim, which is on the topic of Bederech Kenias HaZehiros, acquiring vigilance. And we're going to admittedly go a little bit out of order. We're going to go back and forth a little bit within this Perek to explore different themes. We're going to start with one that I think largely builds on something we were talking about last time, so it's kind of a natural extension of it and a further expansion of it. So we'll start there, and then we'll move back further. So as the name of the parak implies, the focus of the parak is how one acquires all the character attributes and traits that we've been discussing until now. It starts with the Ramchal starts the parak by saying hinei mashem maybe as a adam adara klal hazehiros ulimud haTorah. That the primary way of acquiring all these things is Torah learning, and that's definitely a line that we will circle back to at some point and focus on more extensively. But later in the Perek, and this is what we're going to begin with, is he talks about different emphases or focuses that one should have depending on where one is at in one's own spiritual journey or where one assesses oneself to be in terms of one's Avodas Hashem. And this appears in the third paragraph on page Chaf Beis, if you're in my version. He says there are really three, I guess, broadly speaking, there are three methods of acquiring Zehiros. And it largely depends on where you're at. Are you somebody who is l'shalmei hadas, somebody of perfect focus and I guess spiritual focus and understanding? Are you someone who's a level lower, or he has a third tier below that? Three different tiers and different ways of acquiring zehiros. And we'll talk about these three different tiers and what he prescribes for each of them as a means towards acquiring zehiros. But I want to start with what he describes as shalmei hadas, the highest level for those who are truly wise, who have perfect, proper understanding, spiritual understanding, and spiritual sensitivity. So what does he prescribe for those people? What he says is the following, and this is the next paragraph. L'shalmei adas teyeh lohem ha'ara b'mashi yisbar lohem, ki rak ha'shleima su ha'davar ha'ro'i she'yichamim b'hem v'lo zulazeh, v'she'ein ra gadol mechesron ha'shleima s'va'herchek b'menu. He says, for people who have proper, let's say, spiritual understanding, the mere recognition that spiritual perfection is our primary goal is a sufficient motivator in and of itself. The pain that exists in recognizing that we have yet to realize that goal, that we are not spiritually complete and wholesome, is a sufficient negative motivator, if you will, something that we try to avoid to get us to reach those goals. And you don't really need anything beyond that. The mere recognition that spiritual perfection is a goal is enough of a motivator unto itself. And I think this largely builds on what we were talking about last time in terms of the notion of doing mitzvos with a kind of what we'll call a lishma motivation, motivation that rests on the internal recognition of their value alone and doesn't need to rest on any kind of external motivator, whether it be promise of reward or a threat of consequence if you fail to properly perform mitzvahs. And I want to build on some of the things that I alluded to last week. I'll start with a story that happened to me, I think it was 2 years ago. We were having a faculty meeting at North Shore Hebrew Academy High School. It's one of those after-school meetings that nobody wants to go to, but everybody has to. And at this meeting, they had a guest presentation. The guest presentation was from one of my students. And I happened to have known, I didn't know that she was presenting at this particular meeting, but it was something that she and I had spoken about quite extensively. Good girl with certain spiritual issues that she was trying to navigate over high school, largely surrounding this issue. And she was brought in to present on cheating in the school and the scourge of cheating and how prevalent it was and how many kids were doing it, etc., etc. So it took a lot of courage for her to do it. Cheating was something that really bothered her. She was somebody who was honest by nature, and she was very troubled by the fact that so many people were dishonest and, of course, the disadvantages that that entailed. And she presented on the issue, and the faculty thanked her, and then she left the room. And then it became an internal faculty discussion about cheating and the problem of cheating, which, again, exists in all of our schools. It's not unique to the school that I was teaching in. I promise you it exists in every school, and everybody has to deal with it. So the discussion started with what should the consequences be? like one warning, zero warnings, how severe should the consequences be, what should they be? That was like discussion number one, and that took 20 minutes about what should the consequences be. Then part number two was, what are the escalating methods of cheating? What are the kids doing now? First they were writing on their palms, but we caught on to that. So then they bring the water bottles, and they wrote on the inside of the water bottle, and then they started doing that. And teachers were all sharing all sorts of crazy stories. Of course, again, the irony from an adult perspective is if just half the mental energy on the cheating went into studying, these kids would ace their tests easily. But that's just the reality of it, right? And all these methods of teaching. And again, one by one, everybody was talking about how to catch them and what the consequences are once they are caught. And not once in the meeting did anybody bring up the fact that we're failing in our mission as Jewish institutions if we're failing to communicate that honesty is just a value. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Emes. He's called Emes. It's one of the names that we use for the Ribono Shel Olam. It's a kinoy that we use for Hashem himself. And not once did we kind of come at it from the broader pedagogical standpoint of what are we doing? How are we failing to actually teach that this is just a value unto itself without discussing consequences and how we're going to catch them and what we're going to do once we do catch them? And again, this is not to lay blame on any fellow educators. I think in a lot of schools, this just ends up being the conversation because this is just the culture that we're in. And that's just how we tend to treat these things. But we don't come to these issues from the perspective of what is their internal value. I could tell you that in a separate conversation, this one I had last year, it was during COVID. I had a former student who was studying in NYU at the time. He subsequently made it to, he wasn't allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael originally. Now he's in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to go back to NYU. But he was in NYU, and all of his courses were remote, just because of COVID. All courses were remote. And he said to me, my teacher is offering these exams online. I know that 60, 70, 80% of the kids, 90% of the students are cheating on these exams. And he said, what do I do? And I said to him, look, I don't envy your position. I don't envy your position. And I certainly wouldn't blame you, whatever decision you make. I wouldn't want to be placed in the shoes that you're being placed in right now. But I said to him, to me, integrity is self-justifying. Integrity is self-justifying. And I can't promise you they're going to be caught. I can't promise you that it's not going to hurt your grade. I can't promise you those things. I just can't. But to me, leading a life of integrity is one that is self-justifying and doesn't need further justification. And the kid decided, he said his father gave him a similar speech to his father's credit. He said his father said to him, this is going to be your foundation of knowledge that you base the rest of your life and career on. You wouldn't want it to be flawed or corrupted in any way. And he was honest, but it took a toll. It wasn't simple. Whenever I was distributing tests as an educator, I said, look, I can't promise you I'm going to catch you if you cheat. I promise you if I do catch you cheating, you're done. But I can't promise you that I will catch you. What I can promise you is the 5 points you will gain on an 11th grade Gemara exam is not worth your personal integrity. I promise. I will promise that 1,000 times over that it's not worth your personal integrity. But so often we don't preach in those terms. And I'm giving you one example from honesty and integrity. But the same applies to, again, to Torah learning or to davening or to any of our religious enterprises. Again, I think a lot of times we talk about them in terms of the benefits they have for us. How many times have we heard speeches about the benefits that davening 3 times a day has for your mental health? And again, I believe it. I very firmly do. Anyone who's had a busy and crazy day and takes a moment to just push everything aside and have a few moments communing with the Ribono Shel Olam easily and intuitively understands why that could have mental health benefits. But sometimes it's not just about those things. It's also about the fact that they are true and they are right and they justify themselves. Let me close with a quotation from the Rambam. And this is the Rambam in Tshuva Perek Yud. The Rambam in the 10th Perek of Hilchos Tshuva discusses the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, loving Hashem. And lots of times we associate Ahavas Hashem with this kind of spiritual ecstasy, this overflowing love of the Ribono Shel Olam that just grips us at certain points. You feel it whenever, at the end of Yom Kippur davening or an inspiring tish. We're going to have a Kabbalah Shabbos this week. Those are moments when you feel Ahavas Hashem. And that's certainly an important component of Ahavas Hashem. The Rambam describes that too in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva. But there's another component to Ahavas Hashem as well that I think is less appreciated. This is the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Beis. The Rambam says, "Ha'oved me'ava osek b'Torah uvimitzvos v'holech b'nosivos ha'chachma." One who serves Hashem because of out of true ahavas Hashem, engages in Torah learning and performs mitzvos and walks in the paths of wisdom, of Torah wisdom. Lo mimnei davar ba'olam, not because of any kind of ulterior motive or any kind of material motivation. Lo mimnei yiras ha'ra'a v'lo k'dei l'resha tova, not because of a fear of something bad that's going to happen and not because you desire something good. Ela ose ha emes bibnei shehu emes besof ha tova lava bichlal. You do what's true, and when you do what's emes, because it is emes. And ultimately, the reward will come. That's part of the package too. But it's not the primary motivator. It's not what it's truly all about. And that's where the Ramchal starts. He's going to say that there's a role to reward and punishment as motivators as well, and we'll talk about that in subsequent chaburas. But the highest level, and the level that we all aspire to, is not doing things because of any promise of reward or threat of punishment, but just because we know it's right, and we know it's true, and we know that Torah Hashem has, again, is self-justifying. It has immense internal value without any of those external motivators. And that, in and of itself, when we reach that level, should be motivation enough to engage in processes of self-improvement and avodas Hashem.